The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
And wasn't that good? It's good to hear men sing. I like that. Acts chapter 5, look at verse 14. Acts chapter 5 and verse 14. Before I get into the message, I'm going to ask you to do something. If you're a teenager, if you'll turn your cell phone off, would appreciate that immensely. You don't need to have it on during the service because all to do is to distract you from what the real reason is that you're in church. And if you're an adult or you're a business person, if you'd be kind enough to put it on silence, we would appreciate that. You ever hear a phone go off in the middle of the service and everything is directed that direction? You ever hear that? Yeah, we don't want that to happen. And so let's just give our attention to the Lord tonight. That would be a good thing. Acts chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And believers were," watch it, "the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women." So some great things are happening. People are being saved. Lives are being changed. People are coming into the very presence of God. And God is moving. Then you'll notice in verse 15, the Bible says, "In so much," in other words, so many people are being saved that, boy, they just want to get under the spout where the blessing's coming out. "In so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." Now, what were they looking for? They were looking for blessing. They were looking for their lives to be changed, their lives to be touched, in so that they could be able to go further on whatever they were endeavoring to do. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, "There came also a multitude out of the cities," watch it, "round about onto Jerusalem." So word's getting out. It's not just the neighbor coming. It's not just the farmer down the road that's coming. It's not just the person that is living at the end of the street that's coming. It's not just the person that's living at the end of the block that's coming. It's not just the person that's living in the neighboring neighborhood that's coming. Oh, no, they're coming from other cities, plural, around Jerusalem. The Bible says bringing sick, it says folks, and you can tell they're southern, bringing sick folks. If they were from the north, it would say bringing sick you guys, you know. And so it says, "And them which are vexed with unclean spirits," it says, "and they were healed every one." I want to speak tonight on influence. Influence. You'll be amazed what influence will do to a person. The word influence means this. It means to affect. It means to sway. It means to move or compel in some action. It comes from a Latin word that means into flow. And so what does it literally mean? It means to flow into. All right? So it's where you get the word influenza or flu, if you will. And so you get close to somebody that has the flu. Guess what? If you stay close to them long enough and they breathe on you, you're more likely to contract the flu. It's getting so close to somebody that they're able to influence you. And so Elijah knew what this was about. The Bible says over in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19, "And Elijah passed by and cast his mantle upon him." And so he knew what it was like to influence. Oh, you've had influences that were good influences and good influences that were, that are no more. Then you had people that's been bad influences that never were good influences that never will become. And so such it was with Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde, one day, they heard about the Ford Motor Vehicle Company. They were so impressed by the fast speed that the vehicles went in those days that they wrote Mr. Ford of the Ford Vehicle Company and said, "We want you to know we're so impressed that every time we steal a car from now on, it's going to be a Ford." They used that as their getaway car. Well, what was that? You know, that was influence, because for years they used that as an advertisement to sell the Fords. Okay? So you can use even somebody that's doing bad to influence you. Elvis Presley in the Memphis area, I don't know if it was Dr. Bachman when I preached for him when he was there in Memphis, or if it was Jimmy McCullough that was in Coldwater, Mississippi, and we would go over to the Memphis area sometime to preach. But one day we walked into a rib house, and so on the wall there was a picture of Elvis Presley on the wall, and it read underneath that, "Thanks for the ribs," and it had his name signed. Well, why'd they have that on the wall? They had that on the wall because of influence. You'll be very surprised how people will use influence to try to get people to make decisions in their life. You'll be very surprised how sometimes influence goes on even after a person is dead. There's a Bible verse that I've held on to for years, and I believe that in my personal life, the way God spoke to me about this particular verse is for the writing of material and the writing of books. Because Spurgeon's been dead for over 100 years now, and others that we have read after for many, many years. And there's a Bible verse that says this, "He being dead, yet speaketh." Well, what's that saying? You can speak even after you're dead. And so influence goes on for a long time. You remember, if you would please, the prophet died, and they threw him, if you would, into the grave of a dead man, and the dead man rose. What is that? That's influence after you're dead. I'm saying that influence is a big, big thing. Who you run with, who you read after, the music you listen to, the people you hang around, the people that you invite into your private world, all those types of people can influence you. Let me give you a couple things to think about tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, here's what the Bible says. "But if any man love God, the same is," listen to it now, "known of him." So we understand this, that we can build our influence. We can build our influence, okay? If any man love God, the same is known of him. So here's what the Bible teaches about that. The Bible teaches that you can build your influence because of the people that you do know. You know, because we love God and we try and get close to God, we become known of God. Because we try to step out and do what is right, can I tell you, many times you can influence somebody by the way you walk. You can influence somebody by the way you talk. You can influence somebody by the things you do. You can influence somebody by the clothes that you wear. You can influence somebody by the places that you go. You can influence somebody by the very nature of the type of studies that you put into your life. Influence is a very, very, very big thing. How many times does a little child in the home say, "Well, I did it because brother did it, and he got away with it, and so that's why I did it." What was that? That's called influence. That's called influence. How many daughters of mothers know how to cook a certain recipe because they spent time with mom in the kitchen, and because they spent time with mom in the kitchen watching mom cook the recipe, now they go into their kitchen and they cook the recipe the same way. Why? Simply because of influence. How many preachers do I know that they preach like somebody that influenced them over the years? They've allowed that person to influence them. How many people do I know that has picked up certain type of cliché-ish type of words or phrases, and they say them often? Why? Because of influence. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you do the very same thing that your dad did years ago? Have you ever noticed that sometimes you do the very same thing that your mother did years ago? Have you ever noticed that some of the same habits, oh yes, those despicable, awful habits that you said, "My mother did that, and that irritated me deep down inside, and when I get old, I'll never do that. I promise you, I'll never do that," and now you do it all the time? Have you ever noticed that sometimes we'll even use the excuse of others as the scapegoat as to why we do our wrong? Sometimes we'll say, "Well, the reason that I'm doing," I've heard people say this, "the reason that I'm doing this is because I'm the son of my father." I'm the daughter of my mother. Hello? I've heard people say that. I've heard people say this. Well, you don't understand. The reason that I do this is because I've got Yankee blood. The reason I do this is because I've got Southern blood. Well, I've never understood that. I just kind of figured out blood was blood. If you cut the person or if you give blood, hint, 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 then what takes place is the fact that it's going to come out the same color. Now, can I tell you this? Can I tell you that we can build our influence? How do we do that? Books you read. How do you do that? People you hang around. How do you do that? By spending time, if you would please, with a certain individual that maybe is going the direction that you want them to, that you want to go yourself. How do you do that? Music you listen to. How do you do that? Movies that you watch. How do you do that? Places that you go. How do you do that? On vacations that you enjoy. How do you do that? Neighborhood you live in. How do you do that? People you invite inside of your home. How do you do that? All sorts of other ways. It is just dependent upon who you want to influence your life. So we can build our influence. Statement number one. The Bible says in John chapter 14 and in verse 12, the Bible says this. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, listen to it now, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So not only can we build our influence, we can broaden our influence. The Lord said, "Now I've done great works, but I'm getting ready to go home. And as I go unto the Father, those that follow me," he said, "they'll be able to do greater works than I did." Can you imagine doing a greater work than the Lord Jesus Christ did? But the Bible says that you can do that. Now, what is that? That is broadening your influence. Did you know, hopefully, your children will go on to do a greater work than you did. Hopefully, they'll become more faithful than you were. Hopefully, they'll be a greater Christian than you were. Hopefully, they'll be a greater husband, a greater daddy. They'll be a greater wife. They'll be a greater mother than you were. Because you see, you transfer. If I take all the wisdom that I have that God has given me in the short amount of time that I've been a Christian, and I transfer all that I know to my children, and then what takes place is now they know what they know, but they also know all that I know, which should make them wiser. Now, may I say this? I say that we can broaden our influence. Broaden our influence. Oh, you take a little child. And Sergio, come here. And so you take a little child, and you begin to influence. Let's say that this is my young son, and so I try to influence him. I try to speak things for his learning sake. I try to show him things and instruct him for his wisdom's sake. And then I take him with me, and we go together. We walk beside each other. Oh, maybe we go out fishing together. Oh, maybe we go out hunting together. Oh, maybe we go horseback riding together. Maybe we go gun shooting together. Maybe we go on hikes together. Maybe we sit out on the front porch, and he's got a rocking chair, and I've got a rocking chair with a pillow. And we sit there, and we're rocking in that rocking chair, and I am able to influence him. You know, one of the best things you could ever do with your child is to influence them for God. You say, "But I need to teach them about education." I believe that. "But I need to teach them about having a physical, strong stature." Oh, sure. "But I need to teach them about football and sports." Oh, sure. But the most important thing you could ever do in your child's life is to teach them the importance of walking with God. That's the most important thing. One day you'll be dead and gone, and your influence will dry up like a rotten rind on a sunny day. You've got to decide that you use your influence for good. Use your influence for good. Oh, here I go. And so here's what I do. By the way, he's my young son. And so every young son admires their daddy. Oh, they may not tell you, but they admire you.
Right.
It may not come out in their conversation, but they admire you. And so as I get ready to walk, Sergio follows me. And he gave up on his dad way too quick. And so if I go down to, let's say I go down to a bar. And I say, now look, don't you tell your mother. No, no, no. I'll be out in a flash. And I come out and I got myself a little brown bag. And he says, Daddy, what's in the bag? And I say, oh, son, you know it's milk. He said, I've never seen milk come in a bag like that. I've never seen it shaped that way before. Daddy, I'm thirsty. Can I have some of that milk? And I say, you better wait till we get home. You might drink it before it's time. Well, you know, he's not a dumb bunny. He's pretty smart. He's probably going to figure out that it's not milk that's in that bag. Oh, let's say that I'm riding down the road and I turn on a rock station. And I'm jamming, you know. And all of a sudden now, you know, he's right there with me. And man, I'm over here. And, you know, I mean, I got it going. I got it blaring. You ever see that? You ever see that? Doesn't that bother you? You're trying to drive in peace. And all of a sudden, here comes this guy up. He's got it jacked up high. You don't like his music. Now, why don't you turn on some Holy Ghost preaching and turn it up real good. And then roll the window down. And then go... Now, I'm saying that, wait a minute, but here I am, and I got that boy, and that boy is right beside me all the way. He is my shadow. And so here he is, and I turn it on. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm a beeping down the road, and I'm a beeping of this away and of that away and the other way. And Sergio, he's been in the youth department. He's had somebody to preach to him when he went to youth camp. He's come back from a youth revival. And all of a sudden, he's got things right. But he sees Daddy over there just a bebopping this way and a bebopping that away. And what takes place is, he says, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I guess it's not all that important because after all, I thought Daddy loved God. See, there's influence. You've got to be careful that you are broadening your influence in the right way. Oh, it unnerves me where a daddy would take and he'll get on his kids for listening to rock music, but he's got country music blaring and he watches movies that's got rock music on it and he's sitting there and he's lapping it up. You say, what is that, preacher? That's called a hypocrite. Now, I'm telling you, hey, you ought to decide that you want to be right with God. Hey, if you're going to be all in, dear friend, let me tell you what to do. You just decide you're going to get all in. Don't give me this half-motivated, half-excited type of Christianity. Hey, stop playing games with God. Let God be God and every man a liar. And you step up and just say, I'm serious about this stuff. I'm saying you can broaden your influence. And one of the places you broaden your influence more than any other place is for your kids. Hello. They look at your marriage as being the most exemplary marriage they've ever seen in their life. And all of a sudden, when Daddy and Mama have a knockdown, drag-out, tongue-lashing fight, they're throwing words around that house, bouncing off the beams that they never heard before, not even on television. They're sitting there, their eyeballs are bugging out. They're thinking, my, oh my, oh my, is this what Christian marriage is all about? Had a teenager come to me one time, said, I will never get married. I said, really, why? He said, I will never get married. I said, really, why? He said, I'll never get married because I've seen what a Christian home is and I have no taste for it. You know why? He saw mom and daddy fussing and fighting all the time. Now, he has since changed his mind because he saw a pretty girl. But I'm saying this. I'm saying you can broaden your influence. You can do it by not just reading books. You can write books. You can write a diary. Somebody's going to pick it up and read it one day. I've said this often. I think it's very wise for parents to write some type of journal that you leave to your kids. Let them see God answered prayer. Let them see God used you somehow. Use your life to inspire them. I'm saying this. I'm saying you've got somebody that's following you, and that's your child. Your child follows you. Oh, they may not say, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. They may not say, I admire you. They may not say, I look up to you. They may never say, I'm proud of you. They may never say, you're my hero. They may never say it, but as they lay on their bed at night, they look at you, and you either excite them about the things of God or you don't excite them about the things of God. Why don't you decide you'll get excited about the things of God? I worry about rebels in the home. Now, I'm just being honest. I'm being very transparent. But when I see a rebel in the home, I wonder what's wrong in the home. Why is it that the son does not want to get close to the dad? Has the dad had a part in turning the kid off? Why is there no communication? Is something wrong? I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying that I get worried about stuff like that. I get concerned about stuff like that. When I see a girl and she walks down the hallway, and when mama's walking close to her, she pulls down her dress. But when mama's not around, she pulls up her dress so she can be a part of a group she should not be a part of. I worry about stuff like that. When all of a sudden two teenage boys stand in the corner and they're talking about bad stuff, and all of a sudden when daddy walks up, they change everything in the content in which they're talking about. That's a hypocrite. That's somebody that's surely not right with God. I worry about stuff like that. Oh, you say, preacher, you think that you ought to get your King James Bible and carry your King James Bible everywhere and just sing the praises of God all the time. Well, it might be better to do that than what you're singing. Amen. Might be better to do that in the books you're reading. Look, I tell you, I get worried about the girls that start wearing skirts and they get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Who are you trying to draw? Why are you doing that? Well, I'm doing that because, after all, I'm more godly. Oh, don't give me that. Well, you got a motive. You're trying to draw somebody. One girl said, well, I'm just going to wear it because, after all, I'm getting bigger. So I'm going to wear them shorter. That don't make any sense. Because if you offended somebody when it was long, guess what you're doing right now? That went over like a cheesecake in a chocolate factory. I'm saying this, you can broaden your influence. Broaden your influence the right way. Have the right type of testimony. Hello? Oh, I worry about some of our leaders and fundamentalism. Right. You know, I'm just telling you how it is. I see these boys and they wear these real, I'm talking about preachers. Preachers. They wear these real tight shirts. And they have a figure like me.
Good preaching.
That was not funny.
Yes.
I'm offended. I'm about bitter. Okay, I got over it. But let me say this. You can broaden your influence. But I see these guys that wear these real tight shirts, and it's like, you know, they're trying to be cool. You know? I mean, come on. When is preacher supposed to be cool? Show me that in the Bible. These guys, you know, they look like Shaggy the dog. They got no hair over here. I mean, it's skin tight. I'm talking about skin tight, skin tight. And they got all this hair that wags down like this, and they have to go. Oh, you're who I was talking to. Come on. I'm just saying tonight, you can broaden your influence. You have to decide how you want to. Come on, be careful, grandparent. Be careful. All of a sudden, they get that trinket, that little baby boy. He doesn't know what's up, doesn't know what's down. He don't know nothing. And if he does, it's very little. And then you put all the trinkets real close, your most expensive ones, those $5,000 and $6,000 and $10,000 trinkets. And you put them next to the floor. And he comes up and he says, "Wow, look at this. It's an angel. They fly." Smash against the wall. And then you get mad. And you say things you shouldn't say. Words you should not say. You can broaden your influence. I'm saying this tonight. You can build your influence. You can broaden your influence. You can borrow your influence. You know, when I pastored in Tennessee, no different than I'm here, I invited Curtis Hudson to preach and Carl Hatch to preach and some others to preach there. Can I tell you, I invited them because of influence. Coming here, you get to hear John Hamlin. Influence. Justin Cooper. Influence. Caleb Garraway. Influence, Mike Ray. Influence, Jeff Owens. Influence, Ray Young. Influence, Shelton Smith. Influence, Larry Brown. Influence, J.C. House. Influence, then our own staff that preaches in my stead and do a fabulous job when I'm out of town. Influence, Sunday school teachers. Influence, those that work on the bus routes, bus captains and bus workers alike. Influence, those in the music department. Influence, those that teach in the academy. Influence, those that teach in the college. Influence, even the greeters at the door, ushers down the aisle, working in the nursery, working in the bookstore, working in the Heritage Cafe, working at the ball games, coaching the young people. What is all that? That's influence. If I were you, I would want to surround my children with as much right influence as I possibly could. The youth workers, the children workers, those that help out with their choirs, the junior choirs, the children's choirs, the teen choirs, the adult choirs, all that's influence. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that you can borrow influence. Statement number last, and I'm done. You can also destroy your influence. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 5, the Bible says, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked. It's not good. He says to overthrow the righteous in judgment. So he says, listen, if you got a choice between the wicked and that which is the righteous, and you're going to choose who's going to help you to judge something, then you choose that which is the righteous, not the wicked. Can I say this? Eventually, who you're listening to or who you're watching on a movie, and they become your heroes, that's who you start looking like. You watch the game players, who their heroes are, that's who they start copying, that's who they start looking like. The books you read, the influences that come in your life, come on. I'm saying this. I'm saying that, by the way, normally somebody changes, but they don't change like that. They change little bit by little bit by little bit. I had a parent come into my office crying. And she said this. This parent said, I'm rearing my son all by myself. And 5 years ago, he was totally different. But he got around the wrong crowd in the public school. Now look at him. And to be honest with you, he looks like somebody be living on the street. You know why? Influence. Influence. We've had people that get saved and all of a sudden, man, they start coming to church. They start acting right. They start cleaning it up. They start trying to live right. And by the way, listen to me. I am pro good, godly living. I'm pro it. I mean, I think that everybody ought to practice it. Hello. I think you ought to live right. I think you ought to walk right. I think you ought to talk right. I think you ought to be right. And the more you can do right, be right, and talk right, and walk right, the better the influence for right you can have on somebody else's life. You know where it starts, though? Doc, it starts in the private areas of your life. What a person does in secret, what a person does in the dark, reveals who they really are before they ever come out. Before Obama pushed this thing about same-sex marriage, people were ashamed when they had a lifestyle that was not conducive to wholesome living and having that which is understanding a man and a woman. They were ashamed of stuff like that. But now all of a sudden, because the government's changed, and by the way, that doesn't mean the Bible changes. Can I run that by you again, please? It doesn't mean the Bible changed. By the way, I was preaching this way when I came, and I'll be preaching this way for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, as long as I got a breath. Well, aren't you afraid of the government? No, I'd be more afraid of God. There has to come a time in your life when you say, God's right, period. The government wasn't around when God created man and the woman and brought them together. Now, I'm going to help you now. I'm going to help you. Don't get mad at me when I'm trying to help you. But these boys that start acting feminine, these girls that start acting masculine, they need to be taught. That's not saying that's the way they want to be. That might be the only way they know to be. It would be better for a girl to act feminine, I submit to you, and a boy to act masculine. Oh, I worry about it. I just worry about it. I tell you, I just worry about it. I do. I thank God you're the youth director. When you see these boys walking down the hallway and they got the little dainty walk. You go up to shake their hand, they put it out there like somebody that's... And they had this dripping type of voice. How do you do? I'm fine. How are you? Well, I'm sorry. We don't choose to raise our young people that way. Now, if they choose to raise their young people that way, whoever they may be. But can I tell you, there's a right way and a wrong way to raise your kids. Oh, I'm you know, and you're going to some of these churches, visiting some of these churches, or you got friends that are there, and they walk out and, you know, these girls got these real short dresses on and real tight, you know, and they're walking out and it's, you know, and it looks like two hippos in the back, you know, and then they're walking up, you know, and they got the... I don't see any glory of God in that. That's all about me. That's all about me. Well, why can't we have church the way church used to be? Well, I'm telling you, it bothers me. It bothers me that churches are making fun of us that stand by the Bible, and yet they don't even use the Bible. They got the NIV, the RSV, the ASV, the MIC, KEYMOUSE. They got everything under heaven, and that's why they got to use the screens. You ever think about that? They got to use the screens. Why they got to use the screens, preacher? I'll tell you why. Because if they don't use the screens with all the versions that they have, you'd have to bring 15 Bibles to church. He says, turn in your Bible to the ASV. Okay, let me see. Oh, that's that one. All right, now turn in your Bible to the RSV. Oh, okay. Okay, three down. Okay, got it. All right, now turn in your Bible to the King James Bible. Left that one at home. Didn't think he'd use that one today. Now, I'm saying, yeah, look, let's not change. By the way, you know people join this church because they say this. They say, wow, you're having church the way it used to be. Yeah. I'd rather have church the way it used to be. Look, I came up going to rock concerts. I don't want to go to a church that has a Christian rock concert before preaching. I came out of that. I got saved from that. God put, if you would please, gave me a new song in my mouth. New song in my life. I don't want to go back to that. There's a church near here. And one of the couples that joined our church said this. Said, well, I had enough the night that we went to the bar for the Bible study. And he said, when we went to the bar, my Bible study leader ordered a drink and said, would you all like one? While we're studying the Bible. He said, that was enough for me. Well, that would be enough, I would hope, for any Christian. Come on, here's what I find out. I'm done my rabbit trail, I promise. But here's what I find out. Those that start going to Christian rock concerts eventually will go to rock concerts. It's a progression. Those that start the social drinking normally drink more. It's a progression. The boy that goes out on a date, grabs the girl's hand around the neck, gives a kissy-wissy, normally doesn't stop there. So it would be far better to stop over here than it would to live here and fall over here. You said, but preacher, you're not going to build a church this way. There's no way. Oh, yes, there are some good Christian people out there that's looking for who we are. And they say, I don't want to raise my kid in a church that's going to compromise, that's going to pollute their mind, pollute their soul, make them think things that are not right are right. Oh, no. Oh, no. There's people looking for churches like this all over America to be able to join simply because they want their kids to be raised in the right environment. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this. There's influence. You can build it. You can broaden it, you can borrow it, or you can destroy it. It's really up to you with the influence that you have. It's really up to you. Oh, you said, but preacher, I've already destroyed my influence. You can always pick it back up again. Look, I counsel people in my office all the time. Somebody says, well, I just fell off the wagon. I guess there's no sense in it. I might as well quit. I say, well, no, it's not time to quit. It's time to clean yourself up. Now, people with no character, they quit. I believe you've got character. I believe you love God. It's time to straighten out your act and fly right. You say, but preacher, I'm an adult. I'm a young adult. I can do whatever I want to do. Then maybe you're not hearing me, but I got seventh graders that's hearing me. And I got fifth graders that's hearing me. And I got parents that's trying to raise their kids right that's hearing me. So maybe somebody turns it off and says, well, that's just too much right there. I'm telling you, you're putting your nose in my business. No, I'm putting my nose in God's business. Because all I am is a messenger boy. That's it. Aren't you glad you can come to church and preacher's not going to get up and rock and roll? Aren't you glad he and I are not going to sing a duet together and we're going to be chilling each other and bumping each other in the rears as we do? Hello. Can you imagine? Can you just... Somebody told me the other day, said, said, "Preacher, don't you think that maybe, people that judge people, you know, they shouldn't judge people. Everybody judges. You know, the liberal crowd judges us.
Amen.
That church is too narrow.
Yes.
They ought to broaden themselves and use the NIV and RSV. Oh, you know, they ought to lower the standard. I mean, they're just too narrow." And that's what they say. You know, and somebody said, "Oh, you ought not to judge somebody." Well, you know, then if you don't want to be judged, don't act the way you're acting.
Amen.
I don't mind being judged. Go ahead. I just don't mind. Well, you know, hey, you preach too loud. I like it. You preach too straight. Why don't you compromise and the church will grow? Not interested in that. I'm interested in Bible truth and helping people to follow Christ. And if God builds the church, I'm for it. If God chooses not to build the church, then that's okay. We'll build the ones that decide they want to go straight forward with God.
Amen.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I'm saying this tonight. Influence. Influence. What type of influence are you having? Father, bless, we do pray tonight. Help us always.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.